Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Happy Halloween, everybody. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. You know Carmi Vitale. You can find her on Fox Sports Radio, of course, at Carmi V on social media. It is great to be back chatting with you, Carmen. How are you doing?
I'm good. I guess I should have worn my like Harry Potter cloak or something. It's Halloween. It's like my favorite time of year. I have had the house decorated all month. It's awesome.
We both dropped the ball. I probably should have gone as a Luigi's Pizza to stay on brand, but
we're both in black, at least.
Yes, exactly. We did get that down. We kind of coordinated. You just need a blue hat and we're good to go. We've got a lot to get into. This has been a really fun week from a Packers standpoint with a big win over the Steelers. There's a lot to discuss there. What seems like a fairly easy game coming up against Carolina, but usually those are anything but, at least when it has come to the Packers so far this year. And then a lot of just interesting stuff around the NFL, including the trade deadline as well. So I'm sure we'll get into a little bit of everything, but I want to start with that Packers win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. What did you think of that game? Obviously a disappointing first half, a unbelievable second half for Green Bay, and your takeaways from it.
Yeah, it's funny because on a week that I think like I had so many conversations last week about just like the parity in the NFL in general and how everything. And then last week it was like the average margin of victory was something silly like 9 points. And it yep. was like the most non-parity, like it lacked so much parity this last week. So honestly, this Steelers-Packers game was kind of a bright spot for me because it was one of those really back and forth games. It had all of the drama, obviously, from all of the narratives surrounding it with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. And, was the torch going to be passed? And we talked a lot about that. And then, the Packers were down, 9 points at half. And it was like, how is this going to go? Is this really still Rodgers' league? And then they came back and it was a really fun and entertaining game in a week that was otherwise not quite so entertaining.
Yeah, the best game of the week ended up being Bengals Jets. I mean, going into it, there were only two games with winning teams. Packers Steelers was one of them, which turned out to be a pretty good game. The other one was Panthers Bills, which we kind of knew going in was probably going to be not a great matchup. And yeah, it just ended up being not a great week of matchups. And we sort of, I think, kind of for the first time, really started to separate some of the haves and the have-nots, some of these teams that are really competing at the top and some of these teams that are really going nowhere and should probably be sellers at the trade deadline. Whether they actually do or not remains to be seen. But no, from a Packers standpoint, clearly a much better second half. I think the best place to start, obviously, is with Jordan Love, somebody that obviously you have been, not a fan of, but just, predicting this sort of outcome for a very long time for Jordan. And I don't know that this is anything that maybe we didn't know, that Packers fans didn't know. Maybe a national audience got to see just a little bit more of exactly what he's capable of. But regardless of anybody's thoughts of Jordan Love going into that game, having that performance in that setting with Aaron Rodgers there, and just to go out and have one of his best games of his career on Sunday Night Football, national audience, it just felt like a really cool moment for Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was Jordan Love's arrival game, whether that's fair or not. Obviously, Packers fans have known for quite some time that this is their franchise quarterback and he's going to be very, very good for a very long time. But this was, not only was Jordan Love arriving on the national stage, but this was also the passing of the torch that we talked about last week of, is this still Rodgers' league? Is he going, he's been looking great for the Steelers, honestly, and so much better than some of the more recent years, even when he's been healthy. But I was so happy to see that Jordan Love. I mean, the whatever halftime adjustments that Matt LaFleur came up with, at the half, and then to see Jordan Love just respond like that and those 20 straight completions. NGS had that as a 0.1%. Probability of completing all 20 of those passes. Yeah. So like, and that takes into account factors of like how tight windows those passes were, how far down the field they were, like all of the components of those passes were taken into account in a stat like that. And so obviously the camera panned Aaron Rodgers on so many occasions during that game, but like they didn't as Jordan Love was kind of doing that. And I was like, I needed a camera on Aaron Rodgers at that point. Like I needed to see his reaction to Jordan just drilling that over and over and over again, especially towards the end of that streak. It was funny. I saw Jordan Love go on Kay Adams' show up in Adams the other yep. day, and he had no idea that was like what he was just so locked in. He had no count in his head. He's like, I wouldn't have dirted it if I knew. I would have tried to get it going. Nobody told me I was on some sort of crazy streak.
That's amazing. It's almost better because as soon as you get that in your head of like, oh, I'm on a streak, like you almost start thinking of it more. It was beneficial to him. And Matt LaFleur said the same thing, that he wasn't aware of the streak either until the game was over.
No, I Kay asked him, she's like, is that one of those things where people just kind of stay away from you? Because they like, you know, in baseball, how like yep. when pitchers are throwing a no hitter, you're like, no, like nobody goes near them. Nobody talks to them. Like they're very like allowed to stay in the zone. But usually, I mean, obviously pitchers kind of are aware of what they're doing at that point, whereas Jordan Love just had no idea. And he said that he would have wanted to know. So I think like going forward, Packers players, Packers coaches, if he's on some sort of streak, tell him apparently.
Yeah. But it would have been interesting to see what would have changed at the end there if he would have been able to keep it going maybe a little bit longer. I know even after the dirted one, he had an incomplete pass right after that too. So yeah, maybe it wouldn't have happened, or maybe ends up taking a sack or something worse happens. But either way, an incredible stretch of play from him. That would have been a fun game just to have, you know, the little like Aaron Rodgers cam and like the side, yeah, like to have a side by side, or like, you know, if the game was on like a side channel that you could do like the Aaron Rodgers cam for, it would have been awesome just kind of see him throughout the course of the game, or have like little bubbles of Jordan and Aaron each yes. to kind of get their views throughout it. But it was fun and, you know, kind of cool to see those two connect at the end. Of course, they did the jersey swap, which is fun as well. Just an overall fun night. And I think for NFL fans, it was a very entertaining game, and you got to kind of see Aaron play well and Jordan even play better. And then I think for some of those Packers fans who do still, you know, hold a spot in their heart for Aaron, you know, this was a pretty solid game from Aaron. I know they struggle on third down, and I know there's maybe a couple throws he'd like to have back or whatever, but 200 plus yards, couple touchdowns, no picks. Aaron played well. It was just, again, Jordan just played a little bit better, and the Packers came out with a win, which for a Packers fan who might also be a fan of Aaron Rodgers, pretty much the best outcome that you could get.
Yeah, I think also a key component in kind of everybody understanding just what kind of player Jordan Love is and his success, especially in that second half, he was excellent against the blitz in that game. 12 of 17, 211 yards, all three of his touchdowns came when he was blitzed. And that's the third most yards against the blitz by a quarterback this season. And that's NGS stats again. And it just showed, you know, who this guy is as far as the guy, like, under pressure, what he's seeing. He's so good at recognizing what a defense is trying to do against him. And that's, I think, why I've always had so much faith in him, is because he did get those 3 years on the bench to take those mental reps. And that's just not, you know, that kind of patience isn't ever afforded to guys anymore these days. And so when you do have that and you are able to sit back with no stakes whatsoever and just kind of observe. And then on top of that, I mean, whatever you think about the guy, Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. To be able to see that and intimately understand it without actually having the pressure on him those first 3 years, I mean, that's invaluable experience. And I think it's why he's been able to be so successful so quickly, provided that he's healthy. And it just adds to how well he's able to read and react and where he knows to go with the ball. I mean, even on, I think that scramble touchdown to Tucker Kraft, he was like, I think this is also on Kay Adams that he said this, where he was like, I don't even think I really needed to get out of the pocket there, but, you know, I did and it worked and whatever. Like, he is just so, like, he's so smart. He's so smart. And that's always what's given me so much confidence in him, is because so much of this game, I mean, everybody's talented when you get to the NFL, but it's really the mental side of things and your understanding, especially at the quarterback position, of what teams are trying to do against you, that really sets you apart. And that's something that Jordan does so very well.
No, I couldn't agree more. I'm curious your thoughts on this. Is this any sort of cementing or victory lap for the Packers and Brian Gutekunst that they made the right move in trading away Aaron Rodgers? Is there any sort of narrative? Does this close the book on the Aaron Rodgers trade, or is that just, you know, is there nothing there?
I don't I mean, I can't say that there's nothing there because obviously it was such a controversial decision at the time. You know, Aaron got on McAfee and talked a whole lot about it. And it clearly was a very messy kind of breakup, right? And so whenever you have a messy breakup, things aren't exactly tied up until you see each other again. That's why people always go back to their exes and ask for closure. Like it's never really a good idea. But, you know, in the NFL, like it was a when, not an if. And honestly, they didn't get that chance when Aaron was on the Jets. And so this was kind of, I think there was a closure portion of this. And again, to have Jordan Love go out and have that type of game, I mean, obviously the Packers were confident in Jordan Love from the get-go. They wouldn't have drafted him where they did when they still had Aaron playing at MVP level. They wouldn't have invested so much in Jordan Love and been okay with kind of being patient with him and letting him sit on the bench and then, you know, making that trade if they didn't have that utmost confidence in him that he could turn out to be their third straight franchise quarterback. But this is an organization that knows very well how to, like, has a track record of doing that. And they know what it looks like when they have something. And so I think that this was just, again, a matter of like the Jordan Love's arrival game for the rest of us who don't get to see the ins and outs of the everyday Jordan Love that, you know, in meeting rooms and at like all, throughout all of practices and all this other stuff. Like, this is the Packers. That's why, like, the Packers extending Jordan Love the year after, you know, yeah, what was that, last offseason now? Or no, two offseasons ago? It came after, like, them knowing Jordan Love for more than just his first year starting. And that's what I kind of tried to convey, too, because, you know, he did get that contract. And I think a lot of people's eyes popped out of their heads where they're like, this guy has 1 year of starting experience. And I'm like, the Packers aren't paying him off of 1 year of starting experience. They're paying him off of what they've seen for the last 4 years. And that's something that we haven't been privy to, but now we are. And I do think that this is a long-winded way of just saying, like, the Packers have known this all along. So maybe the Packers themselves didn't need that closure, but I think that it makes a difference when the rest of us have now caught up.
Yeah, no, I think that's totally fair and well said. Just kind of a couple things. First of all, I love the way that the Packers and Aaron Rodgers handled the entire week. It was super amicable. I thought, you know, just seeing Rodgers meet with some of the people that he knew from Green Bay before the game and Matt and Jordan and things like that, I thought was really cool. And again, it felt like there was still a lot of love there overall, even if maybe there was a desire, I'm sure, from Aaron to go beat his former team and things like that. It still felt very, again, agreeable, amicable, et cetera. I loved, again, how both sides handled it. And then just going back to Jordan Love for just a moment, I talked a lot this offseason about how this 2025 season for Jordan would be what I think he is going to be as a quarterback for the foreseeable future. And in this first year, the first half of the year was so you didn't really know what to make of it. Even Goody at the trade deadline of that first year as a starter basically said, yeah, the rest of the season is going to be really important for Jordan, basically spelling out, like, we're going to find out if he can be the franchise quarterback or not. Then in that second half, he went on just an absolute heater and, you know, kind of tore through the league a little bit and had that great game against Dallas, you know, beat Kansas City and Detroit along the way as well. And he clearly became the franchise guy. And then last year you had the injury right away and then another injury and another injury. And it just never felt like we got to see the real Jordan Love. And it felt like this was going to be sort of the table setter for the remainder of his career of, like, he's in year six, year three as a starter. This is probably who he is if we see a full healthy Jordan Love. And so far through that first half of the season, that's a very, very encouraging sign with how he has played so far. And if this is the Jordan Love that you're going to basically get for the remainder of his time in Green Bay until the, you know, whatever decline eventually hits, that's a phenomenal sign for the Packers. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. The hard-hitting football action is even better with Prize Picks. Now, the weather might be changing, but the feeling of being right never gets old. So keep the season rolling on with Prize Picks by getting $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. So it's time to start getting ready for week 9. Back in Green Bay as Carolina is set to come to town. This should be a huge opportunity for Green Bay, and I'm expecting an epic performance from both Jordan Love and the ever-steady Romeo Doubs. Elsewhere in week 9, I'm going with big games from Amon-Ra St. Brown, Davante Adams, and Travis Etienne. Now, here's the best part. Prize Picks is super simple. Just pick more or less on at least 2 player stats. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. And even better, how you play is completely up to you. If you want flexibility, choose Flex Play, where you can get paid even if one of your picks misses. And if you want the biggest payouts, go for the power play. No matter which play you make, Prize Picks is a great way to put your takes to the test. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. Anybody else feeling the financial squeeze right now? Everything just feels a little bit tougher, and I, for one, don't have the time to constantly monitor my finances and see where every little dollar and cent is being allocated. Thankfully, Chime understands that every dollar counts. That's why when you set up direct deposit through Chime, you can get access to fee-free features like free overdraft coverage, getting paid up to 2 days early, and so much more. I highly encourage that you take the time to learn more over at chime.com/packaday. Not only do we use Chime as a family, but I know multiple friends who use Chime and swear by it as well. The early payments, the free overdraft coverage, and access to over 47,000 free ATMs have not only been beneficial, but have come in huge in some really difficult situations. I didn't even mention the ability to get daily balance updates and real-time transaction alerts, which have helped shape our spending habits. So work on your financial goals through Chime today. Open an account in 2 minutes at chime.com/packaday. That's chime.com/packaday. Chime feels like progress.
Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Timing depends on submission of payment file. Fees apply at out-of-network ATMs. Bank ranking and number of ATMs according to U.S. News and World Report 2023. Chime checking account required.
Yeah, I think the overarching theme with Jordan Love here is just that he meets the moment and nothing's too big for him. And again, I go back to how patient he was able to be and how patient the Packers were able to be with him to start out, to really ease him into being a pro, which so many players do not get afforded that opportunity. And it's just resulted in not only someone who is extremely smart and knows how to play the quarterback position extremely well, but a guy that nothing's too big for him. No pressure is too much for him. And that's exactly the type of guy that you want under center going forward as your franchise quarterback.
Let's move on to from one offensive weapon to another. Is Tucker Kraft a superstar, Carmen? Where are we at in the Tucker Kraft superstar rankings and just where he's at tight end overall?
I couldn't be happier for Tucker Kraft, and he's such a fun player, and he's such an easy guy to root for. I mean, not only what he does on the field, obviously, but like he's a good guy, and he does so much for the community in Green Bay. He does so much for his community back home, he's just so easy to root for. And then he's such an explosive player. I mean, you look at that game against the Steelers and Jordan Love didn't really have to do much in that. Like he had 143 receiving yards, Tucker Kraft did. 131 of them came after the catch. So Jordan Love just had to, you know, dump the ball off to Tucker Kraft and let Tucker Kraft do Tucker Kraft things. And I think I tweeted it out where I was like, I think we have a new yak god. It was awesome. Like, because again, when not only as like a tight end, but as a guy in like in a smaller market, like I don't think the national audience gets a lot of exposure to someone like Tucker Kraft. Like, you know, maybe more of the receivers and obviously Josh Jacobs and Jordan Love and all that other stuff. But I don't feel like necessarily tight ends get that same class of exposure. And now Tucker Kraft did, because again, you do that in prime time, you do that in a game that means so much. And there was the most yak by a tight end since 2016. So like, not only was it just an amazing performance for this season, but that was a historic performance just for all tight ends. And he currently has 110 yards after the catch over expectation on the season. So that's just, again, it makes it so easy on Jordan Love. It makes it so easy. Like, tight ends can be safety blankets for quarterbacks. That's what they're supposed to be. And not to mention, I mean, Tucker Kraft, the Packers have been kind of living in 12 personnel a lot this season. And last game was no exception. I think 41% of their plays, 41.3% of their plays were in 12 personnel with multiple tight ends on the field. And that adds to the mismatches you're able to create in the passing game. It adds to how well you're able to block in the run game. And it helps mitigate the pass rush. I mean, TJ Watt was held to 3 pressures in this game. And 11 of his pass rushes were chip blocks, which are conceivably by tight ends. I mean, tight ends are the ones that chip. So you can have Tucker Kraft, you know, go out and do these crazy things in the receiving game while leaving someone else to help like stay in and block or not. I mean, using tight ends is something that Matt LaFleur just does so incredibly well, and it creates all of these opportunities for those players to go out and do just some incredible things, because you just never know what they're actually going to do, and you never know who to put on them at the end of the day. That's the other thing too, is I think, you know, Pittsburgh had more of those, like that star linebacker playing, trying to, you know, contend with some of these tight ends that are bigger, but then you're not fast enough when it comes to a guy like Tucker Kraft to really like go down the field. And that's why, you know, he's wide open as Jordan is scrambling. I mean, maybe not wide open, but he's, you know, he's able to get open as Jordan is scrambling around, and then, you know, down the field, and you get that touchdown and break a couple tackles. It's just, he's so much fun to watch. This offense is so much fun to watch because he's such an integral part of it, and because just tight ends are being used to perfection, I think.
Yeah, the yards after the catch is something with tight ends. It's just so important. And I think he looks faster this year too. He's always been quick. Like, I thought this was some of the fastest plays that he's put on tape so far in his career, on a couple of the big gains in this one. Just to go back, he leads all tight ends in yards after catch. He is 4th overall, behind only Christian McCaffrey, Bijan Robinson, and Ja'Marr Chase. Pretty good company to keep with yards after contact, or yards after catch, I should say. And then also with that, Ja'Marr Chase and Christian McCaffrey have both had one more game than he has had so far. So again, very good company overall for Tucker Kraft. I've also changed my scouting process for tight ends moving forward as I watch tight ends in the draft. You have to have a WWE style personality in order to get at the top of my chart. Like, if you look at the Travis Kelce, the George Kittles, the Shannon Sharps, the Rob Gronkowski's, just a little something. They could easily be like a WWE superstar. They got the personality. Tucker Kraft's doing the Shawn Michaels kip up after first downs. Like, that. You just have to have a little bit of, you have to be all like crazy in all the right ways. And Tucker Kraft has that in spades. I love him to death. He's such a fun player.
He really is. And yeah, you're right. That's such a good like way to describe the personality you want out of your star tight end, because, and I mean, think about what you're having these guys do. I mean, so many times these guys are catching balls over the middle of the field, and sometimes, you know, lesser quarterbacks are putting them in some really precarious situations, those hospital balls that you hear so much about. And tight ends just go into it literally head first, and you kind of have a screw loose to do those kinds of things.
Yep.
And also like acting as an extension of the offensive line, engaging blockers. Like when you're having to go against defensive ends like TJ Watt or Myles Garrett or whatever, like, again, you have to be a little crazy in order to want to do that. And these guys, they all the great ones have it. You're so right.
Yeah, very much so. And yeah, he's been a ton of fun to watch. And to your point from earlier, I thought he was really good in the blocking game in this game as well. It wasn't just what he did as a receiver, which was phenomenal, but I thought as a blocker, he had one of his better games as well. Just really quick to kind of finalize, Packers, before we get into a couple other quick topics. Did you feel like the Packers found a little bit more of their blueprint in the second half of this game, of something that they can lean on moving forward? Was it happenstance, or it just felt like they were totally in rhythm, offense, defense, and special teams in that second half, and maybe that can be something that carries over for them?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, complimentary football is going to get you everywhere in this league, and all three phases really stepped up. But I think a big thing that happened too was the protection held up. You kind of have some continuity finally on that offensive line for Jordan, and Christian Watson stretching the field, like coming back and stretching the field in the way that he did. It turned out to be key as far as how you're attacking a defense like Pittsburgh, and having to have them defend all three levels, that's hard to do. And the more, and again, like, especially when you have a guy like Tucker Kraft that's available underneath and can make a 6-yard pass turn into a 20-yard gain. I mean, that the way that you do that and the way that you help that is you open up those areas of the field with a guy like Christian Watson down the field, and have, you know, to the defense have to spend some resources in defending him down there. Can't load the box on him, can't do those things. So, you're just seeing a lot of complementary football, not only with all three phases, but within each phase, I think. And that's something that really came to light in whatever adjustments that were made at halftime. And you saw this offense for what it can be and, you know, close to the ceiling that it has, but in a good way. I mean, this is what you can expect now, I think, out of the Green Bay Packers. And that was putting everybody on notice on Sunday Night Football.
Fingers crossed that can carry over to the Panthers game this upcoming week, and they can hopefully put out a great performance. Speaking of that game, what are you kind of looking forward to in that one, and any kind of keys for Green Bay in this one?
Yeah, I mean, this is always one of those, like, any given Sunday games, right? Like, you're just like, all right, they should absolutely go out and beat the Panthers, but the Panthers offensive line is a lot better than it has been. I mean, they got a bad rap a couple seasons ago, and last season, I think they've made a lot of strides. You don't want to let this team kind of be able to be multidimensional as far as what they can do in the run game and what Bryce Young can do with his legs. You don't want to let them do that. So if you can keep them one dimensional, which is something the Bills did very good, very well this last game, you know, make him play from behind, make Bryce Young have to throw the ball down the field, push it down the field himself. That's kind of that. I mean, that's the key to most teams, to be honest. But the Panthers, I mean, they're not a bad team. Obviously their record is not good and they're not contending for that division at all, but they have some really talented players on there, and they're good for like one of those really crazy games where they just play out of their minds and you're like, where did this come from? And I don't want that to happen to the Packers.
Yeah, me either. And yeah, their win so far, interesting win against Atlanta, but they won it 30-0 against Atlanta. Miami 27-24, Dallas 30-27, and then they beat the Jets by 7. So other than the Atlanta game, their games have been close. Meanwhile, they lost to Jacksonville, Arizona, New England, and Buffalo. So would they've faced any sort of real kind of competition again, other than maybe Atlanta early in the season, it has not gone well for them. But they can get their running game going, and like you said, if they are multidimensional, and if they are able to stay on balance, that's going to make things a lot more complicated for Green Bay. The Packers, or the line continues to move in favor of the Packers. I believe it opened at 11.5, moved to 12.5. And now as we sit here recording this today on Thursday, it's sitting at 13.5. So the odds makers.
It's so silly for an NFL line. Like, it's so silly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big number. I was talking to Justice Mosqueda about this the other day. If this is a game where the Packers win, or maybe it wasn't just, I was somebody, but if this is a game where the Packers win, like it's the Bengals game and it's kind of like an annoying 9-point win, or they win by 4 or 6 or whatever, like I'm not going to be upset by it or whatever. Like I'm happy. I'll take the win. I'm not, you know, I don't really care about the style points or whatever for the most part. But what I will say is best of the best teams throughout the course of the year do at some time find a way to blow out a team here or there. Yes. And there's not like, maybe they can get the Giants in New York. We're going to talk about the Vikings in just a moment. Maybe they can do it against the Vikings, depending on how the rest of their season goes. But this feels like maybe their best opportunity this season to just really show like, hey, we can go and boat race a team and not have it be like, oh, we're in the fourth quarter and we've got to kick a late field goal to make this a 2-possession game so that the Panthers can't get the ball back and go and win the game or something like that. So again, a win's a win. I'm not going to complain about it one way or the other, but it would be nice to see this team that we all expect to sort of be in that level of Super Bowl contender, just to take a team and be like, yeah, we're just way better than you, or we're going to show it to you all game long. We'll be right back.
Yeah, I think that's a good distinction to make, too, of like you want to see that your team is capable of doing that. Maybe not week in and week out, because I don't think any team can really do that. And I don't think that serves any team either. Like if you win that comfortably on every single week during the regular season and you're not that tested when you come into, you know, postseason play, when the margin for error gets that much smaller, like those teams don't historically do well. So but I see your point in like wanting to know that they are capable of that. And whether that comes against the Panthers or that comes against the Giants, you do want to see at least one of these games where they do exactly what they're supposed to and act like the team they are.
I'm hoping for the Packers big win. I think they'll maybe just barely cover the spread in this one, but should be an entertaining one, hopefully from a Packers side of things. Just really quick spin around the NFC North. I'm going to put this as succinctly as possible. Is the Viking season over, Carmen? And what the heck's going on in Minnesota?
I don't want to count him out. I like the Vikings. I like so many players on the Vikings. I like all of their coaching staff. Like I'm very interested to see what this team looks like when JJ McCarthy comes back. So I'm not ready to say that their season is over yet, because we haven't seen much of JJ McCarthy. And if he can figure out ways to win with this team, which I think he should, given the talent on this team, again, the coaching, the only issue is that they get the Lions this week. So that's not exactly the easiest way to get right. But I mean, if you can do it, good Lord, then we're going to be right back to talking about the Vikings as, you know, someone to be worried about or a team to be worried about. But right now I don't want to say their season's quite over, just because, again, there's a talent level there. I'm really disappointed in just kind of, you know, all the work they did on the offensive line this offseason to kind of like fortify the interior in particular. And now, you know, you're playing without Brian O'Neill, you're playing without Ryan Kelly, your center. And it just, the drop off is just stark when it comes to what that offensive line was supposed to be versus now what it is. And that's the most disappointing part for me, because on paper, what the Vikings did this offseason, I was such a fan of. I mean, they prioritized the right things, I felt like, and they really put a team together on paper that was excellent. And it just hasn't panned out quite yet, because mostly because of injuries. So when a team is, you know, struggling, and it is mostly because of injury, I can't ever count them out, because you're then, if you're one injury away from being bad, you're probably one injury, like one healthy player away from being good. Yeah. So I don't want to count them out just yet. And I want to give JJ McCarthy a chance to right the ship.
ESPN, per their matchup predictor for the remainder of the season, has the Vikings favored in one game the rest of the year. That would be the Bears game at home. They've got a tough schedule at Detroit, Baltimore, which again, these Baltimore games are going to be must win for Baltimore based on where they're at in their standing so far. Chicago at home, which is when they're favored, at Green Bay, at Seattle, Washington, at Dallas, at New York, Giants, and then Lions and Packers to end the season. So you look at that, it's like, you know, maybe you can get Washington, maybe you can get Chicago, maybe you can get New York. I'm gonna go out on a bold prediction, Carmen. If you set the over under at 2.5 wins the remainder of the season for the Vikings, I'm taking the under for the rest of the year. So I think it's gonna get worse before it's gonna get better. Listen, that's not an indictment of Kevin O'Connell or you know, some of the things that I think they've done really, really well there. I just think this is gonna be one of those rough seasons that every team goes through from time to time. I just think this is going to be, unfortunately, one of their seasons from hell. And just with the injuries to the offensive line, quarterback, et cetera, it just isn't trending in the right way.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Bears, tough loss to those same Baltimore Ravens we just talked about last week without Lamar Jackson. They have a potential bounce back opportunity against the Bengals. Joe Flacco is a little bit beat up. Bears get the bounce back this week?
I don't know. I know that Bears fans need a bounce back because they're already like off a ledge with Caleb Williams. I went back actually and kind of compared, not that because they're at all the same quarterback, but I went and compared Jared Goff's first 8 weeks under Ben Johnson as offensive coordinator versus Caleb Williams' first 8 weeks under Ben Johnson as as head coach. And it was just to see, you know, how long it took for Jared Goff to become the Jared Goff that we see now. And in those first 8 weeks, their numbers are are eerily similar. They're so similar when it comes to like low 90s QBR rating, about 7-ish air yards per attempt. They both took 12 sacks at this point of the season. Just like little things like that. And I mean, Caleb Williams is almost aggressively average right now when it comes to EPA per dropback or passing EPA even. So it's, like, I understand that there's accuracy issues right now, and he doesn't look comfortable in the offense, but Jared Goff didn't either at this point. It's a complicated offense. It's complex. There's a lot of motions. There's a lot of shifts. There's a lot of things to take into account when you're running a Ben Johnson offense. And before you're actually thinking like Ben Johnson and seeing the game like Ben Johnson, it's hard. And I'm not saying that, you know, I know for sure that Caleb's going to get a ton better and he is the franchise guy in Chicago and everything's going to be hunky dory and fine going forward. But I'm just saying it's a little too early to kind of write it off and say that was a mistake. And, It's hard when, you know, guys like Drake May are going off and, you know, in the MVP conversation now, deservedly so, but loved Drake May coming out regardless. And you know, Jayden Daniels had such a great season last year. It's hard because you want to compare those guys, but they are all different and they've been in different situations, and it's just going to take a little bit more time for the Bears. So, I mean, the Bengals, I guess Flacco is a little beat up. He's 41 years old, but my understanding is it's AC joint issue, and that's more of a pain management thing than it is, you know, he's risking doing further damage or whatever. In talking to guys about that injury that have had it, they're like, yeah, basically it's just, if you can play, if you can play through pain. And that's something that Joe Flacco is no stranger to, obviously, but he also is 41. So maybe he's
the Vikings would certainly have him play. I know that much. The Vikings would have him play. I'm just kidding. I think it's going to be really interesting to see if the Bears can bounce back this week. The Packers and Lions are probably going to define the division for the remainder of this year, but Caleb Williams and JJ McCarthy are two still the big question mark lottery tickets, pieces to keep an eye on, not only for the NFC North future, but you know, if those two all of a sudden hit, that changes everything in the North and in the NFC. And if obviously Caleb Williams hits to the level that they thought he could be when he was the first overall pick, that changes things in the NFL as well. So those are two big time players to kind of keep an eye on in the North the remainder of the season to see just what they can become as quarterbacks in the NFL. Carmen, you're the absolute freaking best. Tell us where we can find all of your amazing work.
Easiest way is just follow me on social, Carmi V on Instagram, on Twitter, on Blue Sky, and then listen to Fox Sports Radio on Saturdays from 3 to 5 Central.
We will make sure to do so. Again, follow her at Carmi V. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. We'll be back next week. All of a sudden talking about Packers Eagles already, which is going to be a big game next week. That's going to do it for us. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.